kids like you, maker of heaven, Lord of the land and Lord of the sea, holy and true, faithful and able, Lord of all time and eternity.
Hi, God bless you. This is your friend and brother Ferdinand, and we are still in the school of grace. Don't forget that we have now come to the point where we are looking at tapping grace. How do we practically find the grace that we need to reign in life? You recall that we established the overwhelming importance of grace for the triumphant life in the believer. And we saw that grace is omnipotent benevolence, the kindness of the Almighty God, working on our behalf, attending to every area and aspect of our lives. And the more grace we find, the more we walk in victory. That's why that scripture in Romans chapter 5, the Bible tells us that those who receive the overflowing grace of God and the free gift of righteousness, they will reign in life by one man, Jesus Christ. So it's possible to walk in victory in life. That does not mean there will not be challenges or problems. Man that is born of a woman, the Bible says, he is of few days and full of trouble. Jesus told us, he said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. There'll be trouble. But he said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So imagine what happens when we carry in our hearts the one that has overcome the world. The Bible says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So we have him living in our hearts, and then we are continually collecting grace. Remember the word lambano, to take, to receive the grace that we need that makes it possible for us to walk in victory. The more we do that, you're going to find that we will enjoy more and more of the victory that God ordained for us in which to walk in Christ. Now, we have established that there are sources of grace, and we showed at least 10 of those sources of grace, very practical avenues by which we can find increasing dimensions of the grace of God that will enable us to walk in victory. By fellowshipping with the God of all grace, Jesus, the living Word of God, the Word of His grace, that is the written Word, then coming to the throne of grace, the place of prayer, the throne of grace where we can receive grace to help us and mercy in our time of need. And then fellowshipping with the Spirit of grace and with people of grace, and then going to places of grace, and then cultivating attitudes of grace, and then acts of grace, performing acts of grace, things, practical actions that attract and download grace in our lives, as well as also maximizing articles of grace. Now, all of these means of grace, they make it possible for us to reign in life. They make it possible for us to download grace, to lambano grace. Remember, we have seen that the grace we need to reign in life is not the one that just comes to us because we are human beings on planet Earth. The grace of God, the blessing of God, rain falling on people, on the farm of the wicked and of the righteous. All of this is grace. It's not by merit. But the grace we need to reign in life is the active variety of grace. The grace you have to take from the storehouse of grace, from the boundless, limitless ocean of grace found in the source of all grace, who is God himself, and then through the avenues that God has given us by which we can tap and download grace. So we have to take grace. We have to lambano grace. And for us to do that effectively, Remember that we have established several key principles: the capacity of vessels, the size of our hearts, as well as the character of our hearts. I mean, if somebody came with a basket to collect grace, of course the person is going to leak and leak out whatever he receives. If someone comes with a bucket, the person can only receive, you know, something the size of a bucket. And then we also spoke about the principle of measure, that the measure you give is the measure that will also come back to you. And we saw that we must realize our need of grace and then continue to hunger and thirst for more and more grace. And then we must engage these practical avenues and means of grace so that therefrom we can obtain grace. And then don't forget that we saw that the measure of thought and study. This is Mark chapter 4 and verse 24 in the Amplified Translation. The measure of thought and study that we give to the word of God that we receive will determine the measure of virtue, knowledge, and power that will come back to us. So if we give a little attention to these great truths about grace, we are going to receive a little blessing. It's the principle of measure, and it's important that we increase our measure of engagement with all of these aspects of the grace of God. And then the more we utilize the grace that we have received for bringing glory to God and for giving grace to other people, the more we will receive more grace. In Jesus' name, amen. The reason is because we become channels of God's grace, blessing other people. And in this second segment, I'd like us to focus on the Jonathan principle for tapping grace. The Jonathan principle. And I believe that this principle is so powerful, and I want to share it with you in this second segment because it will impact your pursuit of grace as well as other areas of your life. So what do I mean by the Jonathan principle? The story is found in 1 Samuel chapter 14. I encourage you to read the entire text when you have some time, but we are going to read 1 Samuel 14 from verses 25 to 30, the Jonathan principle. Now, it says in 25 down, the army, this was, you know, a battle that Saul was leading the Israelite army to fight against the Philistines. And the background is that Saul had put an oath and put a curse on the whole army and said, nobody must eat until this battle is over and have been avenged of the enemies. And you wonder how Saul could put an oath not to eat on soldiers who are heading to the war front, who are going to fight. So look what happened. So the army and the people who live nearby had gone into a forest, and they came to a place where honey was dripping on the ground. Honey was dripping on the ground, but no one ate any of it because they were afraid of being put under the curse. Jonathan did not know about Saul's warning to the soldiers. So he dipped the end of his walking stick in the honey and ate some with his fingers. And he felt stronger and more alert. Then the soldier told him, your father swore that anyone who ate food today will be put under a curse. And we agreed not to eat. That's why we are so weak. Jonathan said, my father has troubled the land. He has caused a lot of trouble to all of you. Look at me. I had only a little of this honey, but already I feel strong and alert. I wish you had eaten freely of some of the food the Philistines left behind. We would have been able to kill a lot more of them. See, the Jonathan principle is revealed in verse 29. And I want you to don't miss this, because this is the key to the triumphant life. And we see this principle all over scripture. And it explains why many believers are weak even as they fight the battles of the end time. Listen to it. Jonathan said, look at me. I had only a little of this honey, but already I feel strong and alert for eating a little. This version, the New King James says, look now how my countenance has brightened because I tasted a little of this honey. I just tasted a little. Look at the effect. How much better if the people had eaten freely today of the spoil of their enemies which they had found. This version, the Message version said, just look how quickly my energy has returned since I ate a little of this honey. One version said, see how my eyes lit up when I tasted a little of this honey. Then Jonathan said, my father has troubled the land. See how my eyes have become bright because I tasted a little, just a little of this honey. How much better if the people had eaten freely today of the spoil of their enemies that they have found. For now, the defeat among the Philistines has not been great. See what is going on here. And this is the Jonathan principle in effect. Jonathan was saying, if eating a little of this honey produced this effect, what will happen if we had all eaten freely? If we just tasted it, I just tasted a little. Now look at the impact. See how strong I am. See how alert. My eyes are bright. My energy has returned. All because I tasted a little. What if we had eaten freely? So the Jonathan principle says, if you ate a little and you received such an impact, what will happen if you eat freely? If you tasted and was impacted this much, what will happen if you feasted? That's the Jonathan principle. You see, the trouble with many of us believers is that all we are doing with the diet that guarantees our victory is tasting. See, if all we do is to taste of the diet that is supposed to equip us for the triumphant life, we will not walk in victory. See, let's be practical. Look what happens to you and see how your eyes lit up and brightened. Your energy, your hope, your faith soared when you just spend time reading one chapter of your Bible or spend time praying just for 30 minutes or less. Look what happened to you. Hope returned. What if you read 5 chapters? What if you prayed for 2 hours? See, when you spent the last time you spent 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 1 hour, just praying in tongues, you know, praying in the spirit, or just pouring out your heart to God, look at the peace that settled in your spirit. Look at the power that began to stir from deep inside you. What if you stay longer? What if you feast on what you are tasting? You see, what will happen if you continue doing this for a week, for a month, for 1 year? What chances will the enemy have? Which Philistine will be able to stand before you and stand against you? You see, the curse of Saul commanding soldiers not to eat as they went into battle. You see what Saul did? This tells you the kind of leader that Saul was. How do you tell soldiers not to eat when they are going into battle? And then you put a curse on those that eat. No. See, that curse of Saul has reduced and weakened a lot of believers today. A lot of believers are facing the enemy weak and tired. The reason is because they are not feasting on the bread of life and drinking the wine of the Spirit. They are not feasting. They are not drinking from the river. They are faint and weak because they are just tasting. And that is not the plan of God. So hungry brothers and sisters are trying to confront Philistines without overflowing grace. We are facing the end time with its challenges, with ordinary level, elementary grace, basic grace. Thank God for grace, and I'm not minimizing grace. But remember, we have seen that there are levels of grace. And for us to walk in victory, we must download, we must access increasing dimensions of the grace of God. And then grace will more than counterbalance whatever situation we are facing. In Psalm 34 and verse 8, Psalm 34 and verse 8, the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. He is a shield and a fortress to all those that put their trust in him. But the word there is taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste, and then you will see. Now, what's the purpose of tasting anything? The purpose of tasting, and in 1 Peter chapter 2, from verses 2 to 3, we are told that as newborn babies, we should desire the sincere milk of the word of God so that we may grow thereby. Verse 3 said, if so be that you have tasted that the Lord is good. So you see, the plan of God is that once we taste, then the tasting will provoke desire for more. I mean, if you taste a meal, do you get satisfied by tasting a meal? The answer to that is no. No. The purpose of tasting is to advise you whether this thing is good or not. And when you taste and you find that the thing is good, what do? You begin to feast on what you have tasted. You feast on what you have tasted. This is the big problem with many believers. They are not feasting on what they have tasted. They are not feasting on what they have tasted. Even if you look in the world of business, when a company tests the waters and they taste a market and they discover that this market is good, what do? Do they continue tasting? No. They drill a pipe into that market and they begin to suck that market for generations. That's why there are products that have been with us for the past 50, 60, 70 years. They've just been there. And all generations, as they are coming, the product advertisement and packaging is changing. Or they are changing, but the product itself basically remains the same. Why are they doing that? They are feasting on what they have tasted. That's how companies prosper. That's how believers thrive. When we taste and see that the Lord is good, then we begin to feast on the one that we have tasted. So tasting is not sufficient. You have tasted that the Lord is good, that he's faithful, that the word of God is yea and amen. You have tasted the power of answered prayer, the results of seeking God in prayer and fasting. You've tasted what it is like to finish waiting on God and you almost feel like you are going to walk on water. You know what I'm talking about? And you are, well, where is that Goliath? Where is that problem? There is confidence in your heart. There is a bounce in your steps. Your eyes light up. There is fire inside your bones and inside your spirit. The river begins to bubble from inside you. Oh, you have felt the joy of seeing a soul come to Christ. You have encountered, even in this school of grace, you have tasted of this grace. Now, here is a question. What is going to happen if you feast on what you have tasted? What do you think is going to happen if you dig a pipe into these studies on grace and you begin to lambano non-stop in increasing measure? Grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. You are feasting on what you have tasted. So what does this mean? You do more of the things that you did before that attracted grace. You do them in increasing measure. And the more you do that, the more grace you will find until it overflows. And as you do, you will reign in life. Now, I like to point out something as we draw to a close. You see, the victory against the Philistines from the passage about Jonathan that we are studying, the victory was not as great as it could have been. Why? Because the people did not eat freely. Look at, there was honey everywhere. Look at the spoils of the enemy. There was enough to eat, but Saul said, don't eat anything. Oh God, who is this King Saul that is limiting the modern church from feasting on grace that will help us to live a triumphant life? The Lord rebuke you, Satan, for that device in the name of Jesus. God wants us to feast on what we have tasted. And then as we do that, we are eating the meal, the food of grace, the word of his grace. We are fellowshipping with the Spirit of grace. We are downloading, lambanoing grace into our spirit. And that grace will enable us to fulfill our ministries. The grace will enable us not to faint as we, you know, walk in victory. And it will not be a narrow victory. It will not be a Pyrrhic victory. It will not be a limited victory. The victory will be abundant because grace is also abundant. This is the Jonathan principle. Feast on what you have tasted. Feast on what you have tasted. He says, they shall be abundantly satisfied with the goodness, with the fatness of your house. And you will make them to drink of the river of your pleasure. Abundantly satisfied, not tasting. Once we have tasted, you see, when we came to Christ, we tasted that the Lord is good. Now, the Jonathan principle calls us to begin to feast on what we have tasted. Feast on the Lord Jesus. Feast on the word. Feast in the place of prayer. Feast, you know, on praying in the spirit. Do the things that you did in small measures. Multiply your measures for encountering and for downloading grace. And you will reign in life. Strength will enter into your inner man. And you will realize that the victory that Christ has purchased for us is permanent, it is current, and it is eternal. In Jesus' name. Father, thank you for this word. Lord, we receive it and ask that there will be a stirring in our spirit to feast on what we have tasted. Not just to taste prayer and to taste some scripture and walk away, but Lord, to settle down. To settle down, to feast on this bread of life. On this, to drink more and more of the river until this river flows from deep within our spirit and guarantees victory. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Review these teachings and continue to feast on what you have tasted. You will reign in life. Bye-bye.
Maker of heaven, Lord of the land, and Lord of the sea.